Before the presentation, let us pray together. Dear God, Heavenly Father, you know our needs and you know our lives. You have promised to lead our footsteps and hear our prayers. We bring before you our worries and joys. Many believing sisters ask for prayers on behalf of their friends for their physical and psychological diseases, and that they could keep their faith. Thanks rises up from hearts for the help that has been received already. A sister asks that her friend could heal from cancer, although she will be satisfied with the will of God. Another sister asks that her relationship with unbelieving friends could be good, and that her friend could keep her faith in the middle of many difficult situations in life. A believing sister asks for health and blessings for her friends. Another sister asks for prayers for a sister who is ill and on behalf of her husband. A believing brother asks for prayers that he could fight alcoholism and the sinful life that it brings, that he could remain in faith, and that his relatives could get help also for alcoholism and could have the grace of repentance. Help a young man get control of his life and lead him into your kingdom. A sister asks prayers on behalf of her friend who suffers from loneliness, that he could remain in faith and would get help with his illnesses. Other friends ask for strength to get through difficult situations in life, and that they could look to the future with trust. We pray also on behalf of a 10-year-old boy that he could keep his faith, and that his family would also get the gift of faith. A believing mother asks for prayers that she could heal from psychological diseases and wouldn't have to go to the hospital, and that her children's families could find the grace of repentance. A sister asks for her elderly mother the gift of faith. Thank you, dear God, that you hear our prayers. A believing grandmother asks God to lead an unbelieving son and his family and help them find faith. Believing sisters ask that their beloved sister could find her way back into the kingdom of God, that she could see the beauty of faith, and that their believing father could be healed from illness. A believing father asks that he would find strength and power to remain in faith while living a lonely life in Sweden, and that his spouse would understand the joy of faith, and that their children would come to services. Two believing widows ask for prayers for their children and their grandchildren and on behalf of themselves, that they could remain in faith and stay in faith, and that Relationships between the children could heal. A mother listening to summer services at home asks that her friend and her family could find strength to get through the pain of losing their father. A sister asks also for a blessing for the whole collection of people at summer services. One guest thanks God for all the friends and asks blessings for his life. Dear Heavenly Father, you know all the situations of these lives that have been brought before you. Hear our prayers that come from our hearts. Help us with your goodwill. Help us to share the burdens of our lives. We leave ourselves in your good care. Amen. Dear young people and everybody else, all the service guests, the children, and those of you who used to be young, I was asked to prepare this presentation over the theme of forgiveness. And this presentation is about the power of forgiveness. The word that perhaps best describes this group of believers is forgiveness. This can be heard in our servants. Asking for forgiveness and giving forgiveness for sins does not happen only at services. This is a part of everyday life. Perhaps people on the outside of this group may think that forgiveness is used too often. Why do they always and in every sermon talk about the forgiveness of sins? Is it possible that for a believer, this forgiveness could become too ordinary or become just a habit? Is the gospel, which is the forgiveness of sins and the message of joy, is it less needed today in modern times? Do we try to get along without asking for and giving forgiveness? During this presentation, I would like to ask you, dear young person, what does forgiveness mean to you? Recently, there has even been some discussion that the forgiveness of sins is not important for salvation. Only faith is important. Is this kind of thought and thinking one sign that today people do not find forgiveness as important as it has been earlier? It is, of course, clear that personal faith is the most important. In the Bible, it says in many ways that without faith, it is impossible to be acceptable to God. However, forgiveness of sins is important for salvation or being saved by Jesus. If a person is living in the power of sin and unbelief, the reconciliation work, the saving work of Jesus, is lost for this person. and there is no hope for salvation. It is not meant that the forgiveness of sins should become a mandatory habit for believers that would automatically bring one to heaven. Because the use of the gospel or forgiveness of sins will not help if faith is missing. However, the forgiveness of sins is central in the Bible and in the teaching of Jesus and in the teaching of the believers. Because a good conscience and believing the gospel are important. Forgiveness is important also. Forgiveness is important also for keeping one's faith. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Fight the good fight, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck." Jesus himself said to preach the forgiveness of sins in his name. As we have heard, even today at services, that we can forgive each other even 70 times 7. Even if a person in his or her heart is believing, he or she is not able to live without committing sin. The effects of sin, we know the effects of sin in our lives. In some way, every person must resolve or understand his or her relationship with sin. In the unbelieving world, it is most likely usual that people try to just cope with sin and try to forget it, just keep on going forwards in life. Can this way of living and dealing with sin take hold in our hearts? Have you thought such a thought that you might be more free and happier without faith, so that you could just live without thinking how to live and what you are doing? It might be tempting to go along with the flow of the world. Without faith, we would have no part with forgiveness. From this perspective or viewpoint, it may be good to think, how would your life change from the effects of sin? Perhaps this way, the importance of the forgiveness of sins would become clear. We fall into sin. This means that someone falls by accident. I think that we believers all share the same way of thinking, that we don't want to intentionally do wrong. For you, dear travel friend, you may think, if only I were stronger, if only I would better know how to recognize places of danger. We may even, without noticing, fall into temptation, and then we fall. Many times, only afterwards, we realize that what I did was wrong. This makes us feel bad. And we have a bad conscience. We feel unclean. This is not a good feeling. A bad conscience or feeling unclean prevents us from feeling joy, even if all other things in our life are good. A good conscience is such a source of happiness that even when many other things in our lives might not be good, we can still feel happy. Sin breaks relationships between people. When we fall into sin, we don't only cause ourselves and the Heavenly Father to feel bad, we also make the people we love feel bad. The worst thing is that we often hurt the people whom we love the most. Many good things have been broken because of the effects of sin. Relationships break and families break up. Grudges and bitterness grow between people from sin. Sin also breaks our relationship with God. The peace of God in a person's heart is a gift which we should treasure and care for. In the book to the Philippians, we are told that it is the peace of God in the hearts of men and women which protects us in faith. In the place of peace, we end up with restlessness and uneasiness when our matters are not right. If time goes by and we don't fix these matters, unforgiven sins grow and grow, and our heart becomes hard. And next we are filled with a harsh hardness that fills the heart and takes the light away. Because of sin and unbelief, a person drifts away from God's kingdom. The final result of sin is a comfortless fate where the person upon death is eternally separated from God. When we think about these results, we can well understand that sin is serious. It is a bad thing that destroys all the good that God, in His goodness, wishes to give us. It is unfortunate to see if a person ends up in a cycle of sin. Through forgiveness, we can get the opportunity to fix the effects of sin. Sometimes the results of sin are such that they cause permanent changes in our lives even after the sin has been forgiven. The conditions of life may change during the storms of life. Permanent changes may take place which cannot be undone, and forgiveness will not change this. Even after forgiveness, a believing person wants to carry the responsibility that belongs to him or her. The most important thing is that he or she no longer has to carry the burden of guilt. Even though painful, accusing memories may sometimes come into mind, we have permission to forget. In this kind of situation, a believing friend, of course, needs support and encouragement so that he or she could stay in faith and live the life of a believer. Some listener might think that it does not pay to repent, to ask for forgiveness, because he or she is so far away from the sin and so much has happened since. If someone, perhaps a person from a believing home, is thinking such thoughts, I would ask you to think about a person who has not ever lived in a believing home. In his or her life, many things have happened. Doesn't it pay for him or her to also repent and believe sins forgiven? You can also think about all the people that Jesus met, or about all the people Jesus taught. You can remember the bad life that the prodigal son lived. You can remember the rich man, the sinful woman, the customs officer who committed fraud. You can remember Saul, who persecuted the believers. All these people got their sins forgiven. If you find yourself in their company, you are not impossible. It is not too late at this moment for you to believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. It seems extremely good, seems to be extremely good that such a person who, because of a very restless life, has been able to come back and receive the grace to return. And now is in our midst with the rest of us, feeling inadequate and weak, but believing through grace. What kind of power does forgiveness have? The gospel has amazing power. It helps you to go over obstacles and makes the impossible possible. It gives you strength to endure or get through situations that get in the way of your faith. If your future includes many kinds of challenges or problems, and if we think about them with our own mind and strength, we may easily feel hopelessness. Forgiveness helps us to trust and believe that God will not leave us, and He has enough grace and mercy for every day. Because of the power and security that the gospel gives, we want to believe and travel towards heaven. I have noticed in my work as a priest that there are people who live in unbelief, who feel drawn to or want to come near to God's kingdom and its comforting gospel, and they maybe would accept the blessing of the gospel, the blessing of forgiveness. Many people, however, find it difficult to give up the freedom to choose to do sin. Jesus said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." This we too have experienced. Sin is attractive, even if the heart wishes to keep faith in a good conscience. How can we stand strong in faith against the enemy of the soul, as Peter wrote? Through forgiveness, the heart is filled with joy, peace, and freedom. And this makes us wish to make good choices, which will keep us and our conscience clean and good. Why would we feed ourselves with things or do things that will tempt us? We say in the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Sometimes I think that we lead ourselves into temptation. Are we able to recognize and notice those things that tempt and bother us? Have we thought about where these temptations and bad things come from? We can think, are we able in some way to decrease the flow of temptations in our life? Over the years, the tricks of the enemy of the soul have changed a little, but the nature or the way of this battle has stayed the same. Paul had personal experiences, and these are familiar to us. He said, "This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men." Paul also often felt that he did the bad things that he would not want to do. He prayed that he could be free from the influence of the enemy of the soul. But he was answered with this answer: "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." A person whose goal is happiness should remember, true freedom is not freedom to do sin. It is freedom from sin. Forgiveness helps us to be free. And then my thoughts about forgiving one another. If we are hurt, it is not always easy to forgive. In anger, one may even think, "I will never forgive this." Jesus, however, encourages us to forgive. Asking for and giving forgiveness are not learned words. They are a matter of the heart. Repentance or forgiveness is a change in the mind. The same change in the mind happens when a believer humbles his or her heart to ask for forgiveness for sins, and the person forgiving also humbles his or her heart to forgive that other person. No person is better or worse than any other person. We cannot afford to not forgive another person. We all are in need of forgiveness. At such a time, we hope that there is mercy and forgiveness for us too. Experiences with our own weaknesses and sins and forgiveness for them teach us to be humble. For this reason, a parent, for example, a mother or a father, they do not want to demand too much from their children. And children do not want to be demanding or not have understanding for their parents. Many people have learned that the older they themselves get, it is easier to understand their own parents and their weaknesses. People many times find it difficult to let go of bitterness for which they feel they have a good reason to be bitter. But forgiving the other person is the way to find freedom from bitterness that eats away at our life. The person forgiving sometimes has to learn how to forget. Many times we are asked, What is a good word to describe this? I think the mind of Christ. We don't want to take matters that have been forgiven and bring them up again in an accusing way. It is, of course, understandable that sometimes old issues rise up again in our minds. When we are processing matters and issues, sometimes it takes a lot of time to get through the pain. Psalm 103 reminds us that the grace of God is there. As far as the east is from the west, so far away He sends our sins. In addition to settling differences, we often need the ability to discuss matters. The gospel gives us power. The person asking for forgiveness needs to be aware and accept that the hurt person might not be ready to forgive. As a child, I was used to forgetting and leaving behind forgiven matters. They were easy to forget in the carelessness of youth. From my youth, I can remember some situations when I wondered why some things needed to be discussed even after they had been forgiven. I remember once asking my father for his opinion on whether it was bad for forgiven matters to be discussed after they had been forgiven. My father, with his experience from life, was able to advise me. He said, "It is good to be able to discuss things, their causes and effects, even if they have been forgiven. In this way, we can together learn how it pays to go forwards." My father also said that it is not rare that the gospel or forgiveness is needed a second time when the heart is more open following a discussion. This has happened many times in life. When we get sins forgiven, there comes a change in one's mind, and the person desires to live in the right way. If trust has been damaged between people, as often happens, it takes time for trust to grow again and become strong. It may be that words will not help with this, but life, through which we show the other person that we want to once again be worth trust. The Heavenly Father can give strength to be open about our problems and weaknesses. One young person said he was afraid that his parents could no longer trust him because he many times had to ask forgiveness for the same sin. However, the parents felt that his openness and desire to ask for forgiveness for the same sin only made them trust him more. Paul wrote to the Romans about how the gospel is the power of God. The good results of forgiveness are not due to the power or abilities of a person. It is easy to trust that God will do His good work in us when we believe in the gospel of forgiveness. How can I help a person that has fallen into sin? In addition to our own life of faith, we also have the responsibility to help our travel friends. We may one day have concern over a friend. How should we begin to talk about these things with him or her? When another person falls into sin, it is hard for us to talk to him or her about this sin. We might think, what will it help? I won't be successful anyway. Who am I to give advice? What if I am rejected? These kinds of thoughts should not prevent us from helping this friend in his or her time of weakness. It always pays to try to help. In the end, what do we really have to lose if we try to discuss these issues? There are probably many people, perhaps here, who quietly and perhaps with fear are waiting for someone to ask, how are you? It is important to approach such a person with love and humbleness. We cannot force anyone to discuss matters. It may be good to ask if the person wants to discuss, or does he or she have strength to discuss these matters. And then we need to be ready to listen. Today, worldliness is a very big danger. If a believing person is very alone, he might also be alone in his sin and his temptations, and he may be in danger of becoming disconnected from God's kingdom. Also, if in some group of friends, permissibility of sin begins to grow, this group may live in the illusion that they are still a part of the group of believers because they still go to services. John, in his letter, teaches us if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. An honest person may admit that his or her matters are not in order, but what should he or she do? With matters of faith, it is a question of the happiness and salvation of the person. For this reason, it pays to be brave. It pays to be courageous and say aloud what you think. In the best of circumstances, it may end up being so that the others in the group have also been thinking that we cannot go on like this. And together, help can be sought after. It is worth it. Faith is always a personal matter. In the end, we all are responsible for our own faith life, whether we are alone or in a group. We can pray always that the Heavenly Father would give to us a trustworthy, believing person and a time and a place where matters could be discussed. It is good for us to remember that it is grace that teaches each one of us, not judging, not hardness. This faith is not one of commands and rules. People on the outside may have this kind of impression And it may be important to discuss this amongst believers too. Living as a believer, it is not, firstly, about following rules. One time I have heard said how a person who had lost his faith say that it was so distressing to live in the jungle of commands and rules as a believer. It has come to my mind that has this person ever understood or been able to really experience the freedom of faith? Just following commands and rules and avoiding bad things, it is an impossible and hopeless road. The way to heaven is open only through grace, through faith. Paul wrote to Titus, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, a young believer longs for trust, support, and love from his or her parents. Also, he or she longs for advice and safe limits, but not control or negative forbiddance. In this way, personal faith of the heart has room to grow and is not dependent on external control. My last topic or theme here is this: there is no gospel without the kingdom. Someone may be listening who has never experienced the forgiveness of sins. Asking for forgiveness and giving forgiveness, this is a general humane habit. But here tonight, we are talking about more than this. God has on this earth a kingdom which is made up of believing people have the Holy Spirit at the end of the Gospel of John. Jesus gives to his own the power to forgive sins to people. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We are the soldiers of Christ, or the ambassadors of Christ. Through forgiveness, even though the forgiveness of sins is done by people, it is God, through the reconciling death of his Son, Jesus, that cleanses the heart and soul of unbelief and all else that weighs on the conscience. No other way for getting forgiveness is recorded in the Bible, only this way. The labels used for the believers, they have changed over time. Sometimes we have even been called a cult. It doesn't matter what the labels are. The important thing, dear friend, is that whether you are here at the services or you are listening at the internet, God's kingdom is now near you. These summer services are an amazing event. For me, many times I am overcome with emotion. This group travels through life, through this world, each member in his or her own place. The life of a believer is not always easy. It is a battle against sin and one's own weaknesses, as well as the pressures from the outside. But at the same time, we have the peace and joy of heaven. Here at these services, we can, for a brief time, rest. I would like to say that on this earth, we cannot get any closer to heaven than this. From the heart of a believer rises thanks to the Heavenly Father that we can belong in His flock and own His amazing peace in our heart. If you feel that you do not have this grace, you too can join this group of God's children. John wrote that God will give you strength to become His child when you believe the gospel, the good message, the forgiveness of your sins. I was thinking when I was preparing this presentation that it is amazing that I don't have to start listing what all the sins are. God does His work in the hearts of people. He wakes the heart to begin feeling and understanding in how many ways we are going against His will. Even now you can believe all the sins of your life forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. You can experience what these words of the Psalms mean. Blessed is he whose sins are forgiven, whose sin is covered or wiped away. The same right belongs to you, dear brothers and sisters, young and old. Don't continue with your doubts and sins weighing you down. Believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. You can be free. Trust that the Heavenly Father will give you power to stay in faith. Jesus Himself said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In all times, even though it feels that it's not so, it is possible to remain believing if we keep the mind of a child and wish to take care of our life of faith. A little child is a good example of the power of forgiveness. When a child realizes or understands that he or she has done wrong or has been fighting, the child feels bad and comes to the parents and says, "Should we all ask forgiveness?" The familiar words of forgiveness the child maybe has not even learned yet. With the words of a child, the child may say, "All forgiven." But the joy and peace the forgiveness brings, it can be seen in a child. It can be seen in a young person. It can be seen in an old believing person. Sometimes a young person may feel that the experiences of forgiveness have decreased. It may feel impossible to experience that happy feeling that was experienced as a child. It is, however, possible for all. There, where the living gospel is used and preached, it is a great treasure, dear young people. Wherever you are right now, you can forgive one another, and you can ask for forgiveness, and you can give forgiveness. As we grow older and become adults, it is familiar to us. We know the things in life as we grow older a little better. We feel things are better when we experience forgiveness. Our battles will continue after these services. Our nature is attracted to bad. But isn't it wonderful that this burden doesn't need to just grow and grow and in the end become so heavy that we cannot stand it? Instead, we can experience how this burden is taken away from us. When I prepared this presentation, I had only one purpose. Dear young people, everybody, I want to encourage you to believe. Faith and forgiveness brings us happiness. It pays to stay in this flock. Come into this group and don't hang around the edges of the group, but come safely into the middle of the group, of the flock. When I was trying to think of these themes and topics from the perspective of young people, it seemed to me that these things do not change even as you grow older. My own weakness and sinfulness was with me the whole time as I was writing this. So I would like to ask, can I too believe my sins forgiven? I want to believe together with you. We will pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that you, who have given us this gift of life, you know us, you know the situation of our life, you see our weakness, you see our struggles. Give to us your gospel, the forgiveness, the message of joy. Give it to us for our hope, peace, and joy, to keep us safe on our journey of life. Protect all of us, the young and the old. Help us to keep our faith and lead those who are searching for your peace into this kingdom of joy and peace. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.